Hey, what? Welcome back. Nacho Average Sports says Happy New Year to you, your family, and loved ones in 2019. We have taken quite the hiatus. Oh me, oh my, as Travis Scott would say. And, you know, we appreciate your patience, you know. We can contextualize all types of reasons why we've been away, but that might be kind of boring. You might not really be into it, but we're going to jump in to what we have in store this year, man. We got a lot going on, and we want to, of course, as always, give a major shout out to Anchor for the platform, for the distribution, for all the support. You know, as of, last few months or so, Anchor's really helped all the podcasters that use their medium to gain support. And on this show, Nacho Average Sports, you know, you can go to anchor.fm/Nacho Average Sports and you can become a supporter. There's literally a nice little purple button that says support this podcast right on the front page. And if you click that, you'll see that, you know, there's a little blurb that reads, to help Nacho Average Sports produce more episodes on the bizarre history and current states of the sports world, become a supporter. Become a monthly contributor to help Nacho find more time to discover engaging storylines to educate listeners about sports and intersectionality. And there's actually three different tiers of contribution you can choose from, which is 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, or even up to $9.99 a month. And with the $9.99 a month, creator gets 13% more per dollar. So think about that. We do have one investor right now, and we do want to give a big shout out to them, and they know who they are. Thank you very, very much. As well as the fact that, yo, we got sponsorships now. I mean, this episode's probably going to start with the sponsorship that we've endorsed for Flipboard and vice versa. And, you know, major shout out to Flipboard. Curate all the content of news that you want. You know, go check them out. It's really, really a fun time to just do your own thing. You know, what do you want to read about? What do you want to know about? So we're really happy to have partnered with Flipboard, and we look forward to any other potential sponsorships. This podcast is also available on not just Anchor, but Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and of course, Spotify. So, you know, we just want to welcome you back. You know, welcome you back to the rhythm of Nachito, which is I. Who is I? Who am I? I'm Nacho, out here trying to give you the most entertaining intersectionality of not your average sports news, right? This is for listeners who may consider themselves uber sports fans, and those who may not really give a shit and are kind of on the fringe and don't really consider sports to be all that important. But intersectionality, is always omnipresent in our day-to-day lives. And, you know, we just wanted to kind of honor the unreleased episode that was supposed to come out months ago that we never got to release because of our own loquacious nature. I think we added too much onto the menu, if you will, for that particular episode. We did, if you follow us on Instagram at Nacho Podcast, one of our last post of 2018 kind of, you know, settled what the content for that unreleased episode was, which at the time, you know, LeBron James had just come out with his show, The Shop. The first episode had aired, and Odell Beckham Jr. was catching a lot of flack for his comments about feeling like a zoo animal, albeit that he makes millions of dollars, but also feeling like he's subject to what fans want from him on the job of a hat at any given moment, right? And I think a lot of people, probably more athletes who, you know, can vibe with where he's coming from, totally understood that, and probably other people who have no context for what it's like to be someone in the spotlight 24/7 and, yeah, make a gazillion dollars, but probably that also comes with a weight of its own. They probably weren't trying to connect or understand where OBJ was coming from, but you know, we're just contextualizing where we left off because so much obviously has happened in the sports world since just throughout the fall, right? We pretty much missed all fall of 2018, and we apologize for that. And, you know, take it or leave it, trying to be consistent for sure in this new year. It's already January 10th. It's Thursday. So we're going to circle Thursday as kind of the day that we, you know, get an episode out week by week. You know, at the time that this unreleased episode was recorded, Seattle Storm had won the WNBA title. Also, Steph Curry's previous Players Tribune article, he obviously just came out with one the other day, which we thought was, you know, very fascinating in terms of creating a circuit for what was it, basically like the undervalued players all across the nation who play AAU basketball, who may not be considered elite, but whose talents may go unnoticed by certain scouts. And so just like Curry's game was unnoticed by a lot of scouts. And so I like that he's creating a lane, but the point of what we were saying is that his Players Tribune article in 2018 addressed the need for equity in pro basketball salaries for men and women. And being that his son was just born, you know, the role models that Steph has had in his life, from his mother to his sister to his wife, Aisha, you know, very strong women, and that he has his daughters, Riley and Ryan, and of course, Cannon Curry, you know, who will follow in his father's footsteps. We all hope one day, of course, though, may even take not just the basketball prowess, but, you know, what Steph is really leaving a legacy for amongst players is this conversation of equity between men and women in professional sports. So we look forward to seeing how that evolves. On a more somber note, at the time of this, you know, we were tracking the fallout, if you will, of the Maryland Terrapins football program with the death of Jordan McNair, although that had happened last spring. But the ripple effects of Jordan's passing, the call for the firing of the head coach by the parents, and, you know, eventually the firings that the university made of the athletic director and the coach, DJ Durkin. Also within college football, more sus news was the role of Urban Meyer and his being able to return to his head coaching post amid controversy, being that one of his assistant coaches last year, you know, was charged with domestic violence, and that Urban Meyer had turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to it. Apparently also allegedly deleted a lot of text messages that could have provided more insight into where Urban Meyer actually stood on the matter. And of course, conveniently, after this season, Urban Meyer retired, and apparently he'll be teaching a class at Ohio State on leadership. Laugh my ass off on that. So take it what you will with a grain of salt. We're not really big fans of Urban Meyer over here. Also, at the time that we had left off, last but not least, was Colin Kaepernick's Nike campaign, you know, which is basically, what was the term? The slogan was believe in something even if it means sacrificing everything, right? And we might circle back to that just because the slogan for Nike, just do it, actually has some pretty like eerie roots. And we'll come back to that actually at some point because it's interesting. It's interesting knowledge. But you know, at the time, I don't know where we stood on the Kaepernick campaign. Definitely appreciated it to an extent, but also understood how, you know, people were maybe thinking how he might have sold out to a certain extent. You know, Nike, of course, is trying to capitalize on every single thing. And even, for instance, you know, the Serena Williams black cat suit and the French Open, saying that she couldn't wear it. And, you know, Nike clapped back in a good way, but you know, they're pretty good at staying relevant and being on top of it. But mind you, like, they're still like a multi, national corporation with that uses slave labor. So let's not like get too hyped on Nike. But the reason why the last episode also wasn't released, like we said, in not abiding by short and sweet, which we're going to try to do more this year. We had continued the episode with this whole piece about labor history and sports and wages and da-da-da-da-da. And we'll come back to that. We'll circle around, but we're going to wait until the Major League Baseball winter signings are over. Obviously, big names like Bryce Harper, Manny Machado are still out there. But where we're going in the new year. Now, those of you who listened to our first six episodes, we had pillars, right? We had all these pillars of, you know, all these funny kind of sports lingo references, like the Mendoza line. So who was performing below average, or out of left field, kind of what bizarre news was happening. But since this is Nacho Average Sports and it is Nacho Podcast, and I myself, Nacho, am looking to really throw down the gauntlet on what it means to represent nachos to the fullest extent, we have a new recipe for 2019. And those themes are chips, cheese, the meat, toppings, the crunch, and meal prep. And we'll just leave it at that. Chips will be, you know, who's got a chip on their shoulder. Cheese will be what corny news, what maybe like entertaining and funny news is happening in the world of sports. The meat, of course, is the more mainstream highlight of what's going on. Toppings will just be some miscellaneous stuff we think are good garnishes to reference. And the crunch is about who has and hasn't been clutch recently in sports. And lastly, meal prep will just be what to look out for next. So to close this out, you know, we just wanted to come back on Nacho Average Sports for this episode, just to wrap up where we were last year and where we're going, and the promise to be much more diligent. But for the sake of it, you know, since we just listed our new recipe per show, and also, you know, we're plugged in here. We got the USB mic now set up into the desktop. Okay, we're not just talking into the phone. If I get a new phone, I'll try to get a mic for the phone, but you know, in due time. So we're trying to step it up here. You know, we listen to what Anchor has for advice, and we realized we had some equipment we could finally put together. So I hope you like the quality of how I sound. But chips, who's got chips on their shoulder, man? Football coaches. We want to give a shout out to Dabo Swinney, because he took Clemson to a whole nother echelon on Monday night, the way that they buried Bama. And if he had a chip on his shoulder, man, if anyone knows how to dust his shoulder off, it is Dabo Swinney. He may be the funkiest coach in college ranks with his dance moves, et cetera. A guy who we're a fan favorite of, who we thought was doing great at Texas Tech, and they probably would have done better if his quarterback didn't get hurt this year, and they wind up firing him. He winds up going to USC. Then his name gets thrown into the ranks of potential pro candidates, and so he winds up leaving USC just to get a shot at a job, and lands it with the Arizona Cardinals. It's Cliff Kingsbury, former quarterback himself. We shout out, congratulations to Cliff. We, you know, are interested to see how he brings his college offense. Mind you, he was the coach of Patrick Mahomes, who is a potential MVP candidate for the Kansas City Chiefs when Mahomes was at Texas Tech not too long ago. And also, lastly, a chip on his shoulder and a man who I think, you know, is going to do well in Denver for the Broncos. He's definitely deserved this post, and has paid his dues as an assistant and a coordinator for years upon years, is Vic Fangio. So shout out to Vic Fangio. And lastly, the Jets got Adam Gase. You know, if you're a Jets fan, you're probably, you know, maybe not too happy about it, but maybe if they get Greg Williams as a defensive coordinator, maybe that'll make people come around, but good luck to the Jets on that. The cheese, the corny news, who made us have a little chuckle this past weekend? Definitely T.Y. Hilton, who walked into Houston with the clown mask on. Why? Because he said that that was his second home since he's done so well. And as actually, I think he is, like, statistically, as a receiver, has done the, you know, has been so successful at Houston that he's, like, the best player or has the best stats at an opposing stadium than any other receiver in the game. So he wasn't just, you know, making that up when he said Houston was like his second home. But of course, you had some cat on the Texans kind of, you know, call him a clown. And so what did T.Y. do? He came through with the clown mask, man, you know, call a clown, a spade, but T.Y. Hilton showed up and, yo, him and Andrew Luck, we're gonna mention Andrew in the next little theme here, but also honorable mention to our boy. He often just comes up because he's just like a funny dude in the way he carries himself, is Klay Thompson. And Klay Thompson, you know, he dropped 43 points the other night on four dribbles. And really, those last like three dribbles came on the last like 13 points. He only had like one dribble through like 30 points, which is just ridiculous. But we have noticed that Klay may be getting a little, you know, full of himself this year. And like, it's added to almost like, I guess it perhaps his endearingness, but like, we just hope that he doesn't get too big of, you know, a head here with, you know, where he is as a player. I mean, if he wants to leave the Warriors, he's entitled to it, but we hope that you know, he doesn't get it a little too far away from himself. But Klay Thompson, being a funny guy, hey, peace out. Saying bye to the roommate. Welcome back, Adrian. See you, man. You know, we record this show right in the living room, man, based out of Brooklyn, New York. Bed-steezy, 11233 area code. What you know about that? But anyway, sorry for the minor interruption there. But I guess the reason why we bring up Klay Thompson's name is because, and him feeling himself, is just because, you know, he's kind of been like, even when he was in a shooting slump, you know, he's like, well, who's going to teach me how to get out of my shooting slump? Ray Allen, Larry Bird. Those might be the only guys to tell me because I'm the best shooter ever. And like, you're like, wow, I didn't expect that from Klay Thompson. But all right, my guy, weird flex, but okay. So I'm sure more funny moments will come from Klay. And we always just love mentioning Klay Thompson, man. There's so many sides of Klay. Like, you thought there were different, you know, there was Dominican Drake and Toronto Drake. Klay Thompson's giving Drake a run for his money for how many identities he has within one personality. Moving forward, like I said, man, the meat this past week, and look out, and you know, it's going to be the first wild card game last week. It's going to be the first division game featuring the Indianapolis Colts, led by Andrew Luck. And these guys are on a tear, man. And I'm not really a huge Andrew Luck fan. You know, I mean, like, you talk about a guy who's got a corny personality, but like, the guy just, when he's on and he's winning. And remember, they know how to beat an Andy Reid Chiefs team. Albeit that team a few years ago had Alex Smith, and that playoff game took place in Indianapolis as opposed to Kansas City, which will be where it is this week, since the Chiefs will have home advantage as the number one seed. And like we mentioned earlier, they're led by the phenom Pat Mahomes. But don't rule out the Colts, man. You know, it's defense wins championships. Kansas City's defense is still a question mark. And you know, this team's rolling, man. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts really give the Chiefs a run for their money, because as you may or may not recall, the Chiefs a few years ago with Andy Reid and Alex Smith had like 44 points on the Colts and they were up by 30 something. And then wouldn't you know it, the Colts scored like 35 straight and won that game by a point, 45-44, in one of the most epic playoff comebacks. And that's in recent memory. Don't think Andrew Luck forgot that. He's the one who orchestrated that comeback. So watch out. We'll follow up on the result of that next week. And toppings, you know, miscellaneous, a little garnish here, a little garnish there, a little Philly special, if you will. Pa-caw! The Eagles, they still got some magic, man. As long as Nick Foles is behind center after Carson Wentz injury, you never know. I mean, they won the Super Bowl last year. They beat the Patriots of all teams. And yeah, they're going to go to New Orleans. New Orleans has a hell of a home field. Drew Brees, Kamara, Ingram, Sean Payton as head coach. You know, these guys definitely are probably, you know, sitting pretty. But if the Saints are ever going to, you know, really do something this year, they gotta take down the defending champions. So that game, that I think is the last game on the docket. Philly has been given the prime time late afternoon slot for the playoffs these past few Sundays, and that's going to be a hell of a matchup. And lastly but not leastly, the crunch. Who has and hasn't been clutch? That's what we go for here. But, you know, what we're going to circle back to is the college football championship. And this might sound ridiculous, but bear with me, because the question is, will Bama bounce back? Now, of course, Bama has been like the perennial team this whole decade. You know, there's no denying that. But the way that they lost to Clemson on Monday night, sometimes you see teams that have these incredible runs, dynastic, you know, Nick Saban with all the championships, but, you know, the questions are floating. Will he return to the pro ranks? And my thing is, even if Nick Saban stays with Bama, like, obviously he's going to have them in contention, and they're probably going to make the playoffs again next year. But if they don't, will it be that big of a surprise? Like, I feel like sometimes, like, teams like that, like Bama, so dominant, when they go out, when teams, like, they go out with a thud, that's what happened on Monday night, man. I mean, that freshman quarterback for Clemson's no joke, and they just never came back. Like, that first half, I guess, was good, but the second half, there was no, you know, no punchback. And I'm just wondering if that's a larger metaphor for what we've seen from Bama this past decade, where, you know, for the most part, they've won big, and they've caught a few breaks here and there in order to maintain that championship pedigree. But, you know, when they've lost, it's been close. But, and that's why Monday was just such a surprise, I think, for a lot of people. And so I wonder how that ripples effect will take place over the next, let's just give it even a year to end out the decade. And I mean, I put my money on the fact that Bama won't be as dominant next decade as they were this. So that's all I'm saying is I think they're segueing out of the spotlight, and we'll see what happens. But last but not least, meal prep. Oh, did I already say last but not least? I'm sorry. I mean, look, meal prep is just circling back to this notion that we're looking to lock in Thursdays as our new weekly show goal. And we thank you for tuning in. Nacho Average Sports, you know, hot little 23-minute plus segment here. We thank you for tuning in, and big shout out to you, and looking forward to the rest of this year with Anchor and all the other streaming devices where you can hear the show, and looking forward to more sponsorships like Flipboard, etc. So much love to y'all, and we'll be tuning in next week. Peace.